the Lord is giving us this morning is a peculiar and very beautiful word. And I feel it in my heart, and I know that we will be blessed. Let us turn our Bibles to that last phrase of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. Last phrase of the Lord's Prayer. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So let it be. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. The section of this scripture which God is bringing to us is the glory. But if we should look a little bit at what is meant by the kingdom, we would see that God is saying that although things are what they are today, although it would seem that things are going in the opposite direction, the kingdoms of the world are firmly held by powerful nations that feel to themselves that their stance is eternal, everlasting, they're going to hold this kingdom. This is the same kind of a fallacy that Satan holds, that he's going to hold humanity. And when you look at the body of sin and the body of human beings oppressed by Satan, it looks so permanent. It looks so much that how will they ever be delivered? It seems that they're all going to hell, and that isn't true. I think more people are going to heaven than those that are going to hell. I think more people are on the pathway to hell than those who are on the pathway to heaven. But they never did make it, most of them, because when they see themselves faced with hell, they call upon the name of the Lord, and many are delivered even at the last moment, which we sometimes don't know anything about. I think of my own father, who lived not as a Christian all his life, and when it came down to the near point of his dying, that he began to inquire into things of the Lord. Well, he had time to do that because he had a dream that he went down into hell, and he said he didn't want to go back ever to go that place, you know. So God is doing his work upon people, and although he knew nothing of the things of the Lord and he wasn't involved in the things of the Lord, yet he asked my brother at the last moment to explain salvation to him, and he received the Lord and he died singing praises to God. You know, and my mother the same, she was always going to the Baptist church and always religious, but never received the salvation of the Lord until at the final point she called upon the name of the Lord and she was saved, and Jesus came into the room and she was telling us about Jesus being there. Hallelujah. But you see, God had already made the promise to me, and so I rested in that. But it's many, many people, not just the thief on the cross alone, that we know who have never lived a Christian life, but yet they died a Christian death. And God, Jesus Christ, is willing and ready to save to the uttermost them that call upon his name. And while people will call upon the name of the Lord, no matter what past they had, God is saving them. And so the scriptures, John chapter 3 and in verse 17, 18, tells us, this is the condemnation, The condemnation is not that men have sinned. It's not that men have lived away from God, but is that men will turn to God. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men reject the light. So if men will turn to God, there is no condemnation. You see. So the scripture, there is therefore no condemnation to them that in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh but after the spirit. And that's a different thing. But talking about people going to heaven, I do believe that there are some people in heaven that we will be very, very, very shocked to see them there. Amen. Because they didn't look that way when they were down here. Now, so the scripture said, the kingdom is his. It is his. It's not ours. It doesn't belong to these people who seem to have it. But the kingdom is his, and the power is his, and the glory is his forever. Now let us think of this glory, because this glory has been given to us, and many of us don't realize it, and we don't live as if we have the glory of God. Let's look at it. If you look at the 17th chapter, the same Gospel of Matthew, we see a story here. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was, the scriptures say, transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And there behold three appeared, and behold there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were sore afraid. Praise be to God. Let's see if we can reconstruct the scene of what happened there. Jesus took them up into the mountain, and suddenly something started happening to him. What it was, that his skin was beginning to get lighter and lighter and brighter, and it came through his clothes, and it began to get brighter and brighter. Come, wouldn't that be an awful, dreadful thing to see, to behold, that you stood up there with Jesus, and all of a sudden, without any warning, his skin began to get brighter, like light shining through his skin, and begin to shine so bright that his countenance was changed into a glory look. And you stood up there before him, and Peter got frightened. And when he stood there, all of a sudden he saw a spot of light here and a spot of light on the other side of him, and it began to materialize into two men, and he recognized Moses. Hallelujah. He recognized Moses from what he read about Moses. And he recognized Elijah. And they begin to talk with Jesus about his death, his burial, and his resurrection. They came to find out, how is it that the Christ of God will suffer, and how is it Christ, who is life, the life from God, how is it Christ is going to die? for life can't die.
Amen.
You see, and they came representing heaven, for they were from a different realm.
Amen.
Of heaven that was involved with the life of Jesus Christ, and all looking, watching him every day, seeing what's happening. Hallelujah. And so they sent down these two representatives to contact Jesus personally and to find out from him what about this death. How was he going to do it? How was he going to arrange it? For Moses was greater than the high priest in his operation in the tabernacle. And he could go in to the tabernacle with the blood of the lamb. But the high priest could not be the lamb. Are you with me still? If the high priest were the lamb, he would be dead at the altar and he wouldn't be able to carry the blood through. But Jesus then, being the high priest and being the lamb, how are you going to do it? After you're dead, who is going to carry? Because you are supposed to go to hell. And if you go to hell, then who is going to carry the blood to the Father, as the high priest would, to ask for the remission of the sins of the people? And so Jesus explained to him that the scripture said the sword of God, the word of God, is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's going to divide spirit and soul asunder.
Hallelujah.
And the soul will bear the burden of the people. Amen?
Amen.
Like the goat that was dead. Remember when God wanted to show the type of the Christ going through the tabernacle with the blood of the goat? He had to get two goats. He had to get two goats. One was a scapegoat, and one was to be slain. And the goat that was killed, the blood of that goat was daubed upon the scapegoat, and he was taken by the hand of a fit man and let loose into the wilderness. And that's a symbol of the Christ going out with the blood of the Christ. Hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost bearing our sins and our infirmities. Can you imagine you having the Holy Ghost in you and you go out there and do a sin? What happened to the Holy Ghost that is in you? How he suffers, Messiah. How the Holy Ghost suffers with us in our weaknesses and in our low down activities. And he's in us. And if he leaves us, we die. So he doesn't want to leave us. So he has to bear. I don't know if you quite understand me. You have, to us, sin is painful. The way we are now. And we are not there yet.
Amen.
If we were absolutely holy, we'd have to cover our face. Hallelujah. To talk to some people and to deal with some people. Worse than that, you have wives with husbands of sin. And they have to bear the sin of their husband. Some are smokers. They smoke and they puff it in the house. And the house smell, the curtains smell, everything smell of the cigarette. And the wife has to bear it. Hallelujah. And she has to love him. Well, it is only the Holy Ghost in her that can give her the strength to bear that. And she's human and he's human. And the difference between them is not that far. But the difference between the Holy Ghost and us is like the heavens above the earth.
Amen.
And he has to build our infirmity. Hallelujah. A simple thing that comes to me. You sit down and you talk about a brother. And while you are talking about that brother, about his sin, you have the Holy Ghost. And the brother has the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is trying to get that demon off that brother that you are talking about. But actually what you're talking about is what the demon did to the brother. But you are blaming the brother. And when you blame the brother, you take the part of the adversary, the accuser of the brethren. Because you're accusing the brother for something that the devil in the brother did. And the devil in the brother wants to make the brother believe that it's the brother who did it. And so the devil in the brother got the brother to believe that he's wicked and he's bad. And so he does it. And he prays and he wants help, but the devil holds him there, and he will keep on doing bad things and low down little skullduggery and cheating and things like that. And you do not know that you should rise up against the devil, and the Holy Ghost wants you to rise up against the devil in the brother, but you are not seeing, and you are accusing the brother. You are doing exactly what the devil is doing to the brother. Accusing him. Very, very simple analogy. But here we are thinking about what happened at the transfiguration. Jesus was, let's change the word transfigure and use the word metamorphosize, metamorpho, which is the Greek word that is used here meaning change. And you, he said, shall be transfigured into the likeness of God. Transfigured, the same word was used for us, which means change. Let's look at it in Romans 12. Somebody read that for me. 1, 2.
I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and not be conformed to the image of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
But be ye transfigured. That's what it said. Go ahead.
That you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
So then that the same glory of God that shines out through Jesus Christ at his transfiguration must shine out through you. Hallelujah. Now Jesus was born Son of God. The blood of Jesus Christ was charged with the power of God, and not like our blood that was charged with the sins of Adam. See, so Jesus Christ was not Adamic in his nature because he received the power directly from God. Now, Adam was not Adamic in his nature when he was born, because the blood that was in him was given to him of God. That was what was in God, in God's mind, that God transferred into him. So if you can understand where Jesus stood, that when he came to heal the Adam man, he had to do something to his blood then. And so what did he do? He took some of his blood and gave you. Now, if you're going to break it down, it's not the sticky substance that he gave you, but it is the energy that is in the blood, or the life that is in the blood, that he incorporated into you. See? Now, if that energy was into your natural blood, like the it was in his, then when you have a child, the child will be born saved. You understand what I'm saying? But it isn't. It affects it. So that the children you have after you are born again, after you are saved, they have a different endowment. That is, it has arrested the Adamic nature. But they still have the Adamic nature. And they still need to be born again. Now, what I am trying to say is that this glory, therefore, is something that we get from out there in here. Something that as we give way, we go from glory to glory. As we give way to this glory, we go from glory to glory until we are completely transfigured. And the word metamorpho, as in the English metamorphosis, is one of a gradual change, more and more and more, until the big old caterpillar turns into a butterfly. Amen. So we didn't start out with wings, but somewhere deep down in that body of death, there are some wings. Hallelujah. And as we undergo the process of change, then God brings forth the wings, the beautiful wings with lovely spots on it, out of an ugly caterpillar, and the beautiful butterfly comes forth. Now let us read some more what Peter had to say about the transfiguration. In 2 Peter 1, let's find that, 1:17. Somebody find that and read it for me. I think you better read from the 16th.
For we have not followed cunning, the devised fables, when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased."
Go into 19.
And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mountain. We also have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts.
Hallelujah. The day... isn't that beautiful though? What Peter is saying is that he sat down there and watched Jesus, and gradually, just like the day dawning, gradually there was a light coming out of him, just like how the day dawns more and more and more and more, until the brightness was so great that it changed all his countenance and everything, and they couldn't look at him. And pardon me, he said that we have a surer word of prophecy. Although he saw this with his own eyes, he's going to give you a better word, and that you also going to have the day star. You know, Jesus Christ is called a day star. You're going to have the morning star coming up in your heart and brightening you and bringing the glory of God to you, just as it was with Jesus Christ himself. There's another word in Peter, it's the same word there, going right down to 18. Let us look at Hebrews. And Hebrews 11. And 9. Somebody read that one.
By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise.
10.
For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God.
Somehow I must have missed that, as I'm looking for to receive glory and honor. It's if you look at Hebrews 8, let's see now. The verse 10 speaks of putting the law in your heart. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, said the Lord, I'll put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. God here speaking of doing the same thing to you that he did to Jesus, bringing forth the glory from within, the glory of God coming forth in us, just as it came forth. Let us read Psalm 2 and 7. Somebody read that for me. Let me see what that says.
I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day am I begotten.
Yeah. Now, they stood there and saw Jesus being baptized. And as he was baptized, God shone his glory from on high, and they saw a dove come down and rest upon him, and they heard the voice saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. But when Peter stood there in the transfiguration, Peter immediately wanted to build a tabernacle to Moses and to Elijah. I want you to understand what happens. They saw the glory. But immediately they saw the glory, they wanted to take all that glory and to build three churches. And isn't that the peculiar working of the human mind that we see going on around us? Nobody wants to submit to the one church, the one body of Christ, the one headship and lordship of Jesus Christ. And God spoke. And the Bible said, when God spoke, this, first of all, a bright cloud enveloped them, and the Lord said, this is my beloved son, you hear him. And when God said that, Peter, James, and John fell to the ground. Did you read that? The power of God was so great it knocked man down. This is my son. Him and him alone you must hear. And when God said that, it destroyed all the counsel of man, knocked them flat to the ground. The Bible said that Jesus had to touch them to give them strength to rise up. Amen. Now, look at John 14:17, and we'll understand a little bit more of what Jesus was asking for. In the fifth verse he said, fourth verse, I have glorified thee on the earth, I have finish the work which thou gavest me to do, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Now, this here is speaking of something very, very peculiar, something that we somehow don't really understand. God, Jesus Christ is asking the Father for something that somehow he lost when he became man. If he had it, he couldn't be asking for it. That's what I mean when I say lost. If he had to, he couldn't bring it here. He was asking for something that he had with the Father before they made the world. And it's all well and good for us to say, oh, it's the relationship, it is the oneness, but that oneness was never broken.
Amen.
The relationship between Jesus Christ and the Father was never broken, except that he as man could not contain the whole counsel of God. So when he became man, he lost the knowledge. First of all, he lost his omnipresence. He couldn't be everywhere at the same time, although he could be in heaven and earth at the same time. He couldn't know all things, because some of the knowledge couldn't be contained in human mind and brain. And so when the brethren asked him, when are you returning? Tell us the time of your return to the earth. He said, God alone knows that. The Father alone knows that, because neither the Son nor the angels nor anyone know the day nor the hour. See, so there, it was not that he got, that he asked for. Before God made man, that there was a picture of man, that not only Jesus Christ, but the angels knew. That the angels, that Jesus himself, that God the Father were able to look at the man that was only made in the Spirit, and see him walk and talk and manifest in his perfect being. You understand what I'm saying? But that thing then was in the heart of God, in the mind of God, when he made man, and yet it was not yet brought forth. So Jesus Christ said, give me that glory which we had together, which you and I saw, which we understood, which we had from before the beginning. Then, now, in the verse 22 and 24, he said, thou and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Ha! Glory to God. So, when you heard the first trumpet, it brought you out of sin into light, and you begin to enter into that glory. Second trumpet took you on further. Third trumpet took you on further. Fourth trumpet took you on further. Fifth trumpet takes you through the veil into the sixth trumpet. For while you are outside, the sixth trumpet is calling you in through the veil. And when you get in through the veil and get into the seventh trumpet, then God said, that glory which he had with the Father from before the foundation of the world, now I have given it to them. Now you've got it. Somehow I cannot get away from it, but that we have it. That it's there, but we can't see it, we can't hear it. Somehow we have not got up into the frequency to hear it. You know, the dogs can hear sounds that we can't hear, and they can see things that we can't see. And I remember playing the violin with my dog, and the dog just begin to whine and go around in circles, and it was so painful to him. Anytime I'm going to play the violin, I have to put the dog outside. Hallelujah. Somehow there was a sound there that not even I was hearing, but that it was hurting the dog's ears. And that tells me, hallelujah, that this glory, it's somewhere here. It's somewhere out there. It seems to me that we're going to have to hear a trumpet that brings us into the glory. It seems to me that somehow, maybe, it's sounding and the flesh, the veil, is holding us back from really entering into that glory. I mean, I'm sure of it. I'm saying it seems to me. But I'm sure of it. It's somewhere there. Right at our grasp. I'm sure that when we rise up in Christ just a little more, we are going to say, oh, what a shame. It was here all the while. And we didn't see it. But Peter and James and John saw the glory of God. And they said that we handled it. We saw it. We beheld his glory. And he said that same glory will rise in you like a day star coming up over the horizon. Little brighter, little brighter, little brighter, little brighter, till it appears in all its glory. And because of this, the things that put us on to this kind of understanding is the words they use. Because if your translation translated with Jesus' transfiguration, and with us it translated transform, and it's the same word. So that means to say, just like Jesus was transfigured, we are being transfigured. Not that we will be, but we are being changed from glory to glory into the image of the only begotten Son of God. See, I'm going to read another scripture for you later on, but let's just finish with this John here. And he said, give them the glory. And when you give them this glory, and the word glory is the word doxa, and when you give them this glory, it's going to do something to them. It's going to make them one. And it's going to make them one, just like you and I are one, because we have the same glory. It would seem to me that the thing is saying that you are too dull. You are too much in the dark. Come on. He said he has translated us from darkness into light. And I'm just seeing now that that word can be translated a little different. It said he has translated us from being darkness to becoming light. Are you seen with me? That is not saying that you are going to have the glory, but that you are becoming the glory. Amen. So then the glory that he gave us, we have not yet become it. Amen. The thing that God spoke, the word he spoke for us to be, we are being, we are becoming. Amen. And because we are becoming, it said, and Peter was saying that we should give way to it. Hallelujah. So that the day star would arise in us and we would become that glory of God.
Thank you, Lord.
Moses went to talk with God. And when he talked with God, the radiation of God was so great And he stayed there 40 days. That thing got onto his skin outside. Glory to God. But though Moses came down and his skin was shining, he got into a blind temper and smashed up the tables of stone. I wanted to see that. He did not have the glory inside of him. He was only radiating like a mirror, shining back the glory that was upon God, that was God's, which he was in God's presence.
Amen.
But what Jesus is saying to Father, he said, Father, I don't want to shine on them and for them to be like the moon that reflects the light of the sun anymore. I want you to give them the sun inside of them so that they will reflect, that they will shine forth, radiate that glory. So no more they will be like a woman receiving seed from her husband, but that they will have the seed to give.
Hallelujah.
Like the man. See, so give them, Father, the glory that we had arranged, agreed upon in the beginning, that there should be a man with the glory of God shining from him, walking the earth.
Amen.
Creating. Oh yes, the man is going to become a creator of the things of God, that he will bring forth the life in the earth, that the dead planets will be brought to life by the creating power of God through you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
It is worthwhile. No matter what you suffer now, it's worthwhile. No matter what you suffer now, in the days to come ahead of us, there must be suffering. And God is telling us that the glory which is to be revealed in us is much, much greater than the suffering which we suffer. So do you want to back off now? Amen. Or would you rather the suffering and the glory? You know, sometimes we're in the spirit. I hear the spirit cry out, glory. Hallelujah. And you wonder, yeah, I don't know if you want to, but I wonder what's it? What's he saying? You know, glory. You know, and you hear that shout sometimes coming from the congregation, glory to God, glory. And you wonder what's all about. Bless God, amen. It's the speaking the word and bringing forth the praise of God, which has been given to us, yet we have not fully appropriated. Verse 24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Where was he? In the natural. He was on the earth in Galilee, somewhere there. So he couldn't be asking that all of us should be in Galilee. He must have been talking about his spiritual position in the heavenlies with God. Now, this is what galled Satan. Galled this angel to the core. To know that God making these little things, who he's going to exalt over him, the mighty Heliel. You understand? You see, because these angels are in the second heaven. These angels are in the second heaven, and the brightness of God is so great that they have to be shielded by a cloud or a shield or whatever, an insulation, whatever it is that God put between him and them, so that his glory don't hit them fully, but that what got through to them is the type of light that they can stand. And they are the mighty archangels that could speak one word and smother the earth. You don't believe we're talking about something that you know nothing about. As far as power is concerned, all our little hydrogen bomb with all the power, see what I mean, couldn't even cut his fingernail if it exploded on it. In other words, amen. That gives you an idea. But all like this is child's play. It's like you look at the little kids playing with toy guns and their little caps. Fire. It has no power as far as God's power is concerned that these angels have. And so these are angels that God called them the stones of fire. And when you think of these stones of fire walking in the heavenlies, moving, doing God's bidding, casting a spell of joy over the whole earth if it pleases him, or casting sadness over somebody, or bringing praise forth in the congregation of God's people in heaven. That's what Hillel used to do. Just cast a mantle of praise over heaven. And the Bible said he was a covering cherub to cover them with praise. And you had to pray. Amen. That's the power that he had. You just cover heaven with praise, and the heaven, whole heaven, begin to lift with praise and glory to God because Hillel said so. Praise God. See what I mean? And this angel thought that he would have all this glory and all this power, but instead of giving him this glory, God turned around and gave it to an unworthy creature. A creature that was so weak and unworthy that Satan scorned and despised man. He said, I will reign over that pig you're talking about, Zion, the people in the sides of the north. I will put my throne there and I will reign as God over them. You watch and see. And I don't know how many million years passed. I have no idea. But time don't mean anything to them. Passed. And lo and behold, Jesus Christ stood there in the wilderness, fasting 40 days. And now it's no longer Hillel, it's Satan. Because he changed his nature, changed his name. He comes to Jesus and say to him, didn't I tell you? I want you to have a look. Come, let's go up in our vision. Let's go up in a high place in the spirit where we can see the hearts of men. And up he went. And he said, look at that. I command every single one, including your disciples. Look at the darkness in them. Look at Peter over there. He's going to deny you, you know. And he said, now I make a deal with you. If he was winning, if he knew he was going to win, he wouldn't want any deal. But you see, hallelujah, Job taught him a lesson before Jesus came. You see what I mean? He met Job. He met Abraham. He met Isaac. He met Jacob. He met all the patriarchs. And he saw that there was a quality, like a streak in man, that he could not control some of them. And he knew that was what God was talking about, his Zion. And he had a fear. So he wanted to make a deal with the Lord. He said, I make a deal with you. I give you all of this that you want. I say, I know this is what you come here for. I know this is what you want. I give it to you. I give up right now. If you will worship me. In other words, the word worship there meant all you have to do is to say, well, you said you would do it, you did it, you have won. That's what he wanted Jesus to say. Jesus said, don't you know that the Bible say you mustn't worship anybody but God. He said, you get behind me. And the power of Jesus was great enough to push him behind him. To get away, you know. And I want you to understand, brethren, that what God is showing us here tonight, today, is that there is a glory in Christ far beyond what we are enjoying now. Amen. And there is something to strive forward to, and to look forward to, and to say to God, God, give me your glory. And then God will say, but how can I shine through your darkness? Glory to God. How can I shine through you when you have an evil thought about somebody, and it's a darkness, it's part of the evil one? And then you will say to him, Lord God, take out the darkness and put your glory in its place. Hallelujah. And then you'll say, God will say, but you say, shine now, Lord, I'm all right now. And he says, there's a no, but in your emotions there is still that possibility of your getting mad. You know, God sometimes shelter us from our darkness. If God knows that you have a darkness in you, and you can't help it, and you have it there, and you're going to get mad before people and all that, God will hide you. No, he won't make the person provoke you. But if you see somebody come and provoking you to the very limit of your endurance, you know that you got it. You got the power to overcome. That's why God allows it. And if you fail, God will let time pass and bring back a provocation same way to get you to pass it. Because when you overcome it, the darkness is taken out and God put in another piece of light.
Hallelujah.
So, glory to God. The light, the glory that God is talking about, it's really light.
Amen.
It's really energy. It's really life. It's really the glory of God. And there's no other way to explain it, but there's a light that shines inside of you, and darkness is in you, preventing the light from coming forth out of you. And God is wanting you to understand that he has given you his glory, and the glory is enough to take care of the world. See, all the darkness that is in the world. If you look at Ephesians chapter 4, and it's from going from verse 14 down, that ye henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about at every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, you may grow up into him in all things, which is the head of Christ, from whom the whole body is fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, make increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. Praise God. So he's speaking of a development into a stature. Did I read that? Where is that?
Verse 13.
Till we all come in the unity of the flesh, that the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And God was not speaking there about individual perfection. He was thinking of all of us coming into one perfect man. So you can see, brethren, that a sign of this glory coming forth in you is that you begin to fellowship with the body of Christ. You know, it's something I'd like to really get over. I have said it many times. It's something right out here that you say, but you really don't get the full grasp of it. And the people you are saying it to don't get it. Because he said that I am going to give you the glory, that you will become one. So the more of this glory of God that we have, the more we will find a oneness with the body whom we don't even know. Amen. Kushabahandai. You know? Like the day when I saw Brother Tom Campbell. I am in a little church in a town in Jamaica, and we were having school that day in the church, and two men came to the door. One of the ministers of the organization and Brother Campbell, and he come and said, "I just want to meet you, just to say hello," and so on. And we talk, and my name is so and so and so. And he took a coat, a plaid coat, I think, and gave it to me. Said he think it will fit me, a present or whatever, and he left. I never seen him again in 20 years. 20 years after that, he's coming on a plane into Detroit, and I'm coming on another plane into Detroit. And he saw a man and said to the man, "Do you know this hill?" The man said, "Yes, that's where I'm going. I'm going to meet him in Detroit." See, I'm talking about 20 years, you know. And, no, it wasn't 20 years. Couldn't be 20. It was 1960 and 1980. That sounds like 20 years to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's 60 something. Maybe 63. Anyhow, it's around 20 years. And he, the man gave him the telephone number. But that wasn't my telephone number. It was my brother's telephone number. And the man was going to my brother. But it was the Spirit of God bringing the body together. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Through the more you move in Christ, the more God is going to reveal the people of God to you. Hallelujah. And, you know, I said to my wife, I said, "May, we seem to be getting the cream of the crop." The people we know, their hearts are so much for God. You know, like the Rockford Conference, you look at the people you met in Rockford, and I don't remember seeing people like that gathering together, because all of them were 100% for God. And I said, bless God, it seems we're getting the cream of the crop. You could put your life in the hand of every one of those brothers, you know, almost. And know that it would be safe. Praise be to God. Amen. You get correction sometimes, don't you? Hallelujah. And amen. Therefore the glory of God in you is going to make you find the people, the right people. Then the mercy and the blessing of it is that the church in Detroit he was going to, it was the same church in Detroit I was going to. I got into Detroit, the Lord said, "Call your brother." I don't generally do that. I call my brother said, "Something's funny going on here. I haven't heard from you in 2 years, and all of a sudden you call me, and 5 minutes before you call, a man call here and say that when you call I must call him." He gave me the number to call. Hallelujah. So I took the number, called him, and lo and behold, the man was going to the same church in Detroit that I was going. He was going that night, I was going the next night. Okay. Then he was going to another little church in a little city named Champaign. I said, "What? What's the name of that church?" He said, "The church is the Living Word Church." My Lord, that's our little group down in Champaign he's going to. So I said, "All right, you know what? Let's not bother to meet in Detroit." I said, "I see you in Champaign." Hallelujah. They made a mistake, and they got two of us on the same time. But it was no mistake. It was God. God. And then I sit in this church, and lo and behold, this man comes up. I remember him now. He comes walking in 20 years after the fact. God sent him 20 years before just to say hello. Because God's bringing the body together 20 years after. And some of those involvements you have, you forget them. God's done it for a purpose. People are coming back. You must have that faith. Have that faith for this city. Amen. That God is going to pick up all the gold and bring it into this place.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Because it is His will. Give them the glory, Lord, that Amen. They may be one.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
And as you clean up your lives, brethren, you are becoming one with all those who clean up their lives. See, there is a movement in God. We saw it many, many years ago down in Jamaica, vision of the lights all over the world. And little spots of light were everywhere. And the United States in particular, the lights were moving, coming together.
Oh.
Lights are coming together. And he said, one day you'll go over there and I'll send you to meet these different people. So God, and when I came and met the people, you know what I discovered? That some of them weren't born yet. And I got the message, they weren't born yet. They were just...
Hallelujah.
Their parents never even got married. Amen.
Hallelujah.
They were yet unformed in the earth. And God was talking them into being.
Hallelujah.
Though they were not yet born. Isn't that beautiful?
Amen.
Yes, some of you here, when we were being told of the things that God was going to do to you, you weren't yet born. Because that's 40 years ago. Hallelujah. Amen. The glory is coming. And this is the message. And I want you to be wise people. Brother Jerry, in your song service, be wise. You notice when the song was raised about the glory, that the blessing that just flooded the... Did you notice it? What were we singing? Let the glory of the Lord endure forever. And there was another glory song that we sang. And that confirmed to me the message that God had told me outside. And I asked you, where do you find the power and the glory forever? Amen. Hallelujah. But this is a glory that we know long ago. And I wanted to even sit down with you and talk with you about this thing. That you come into a song, into a meeting, and you come and the Spirit is saying something.
Amen.
If you make your songs go right along with what the Spirit is saying, He stirred their heart and got them just ready to hear the Word. So He wants to sing something specially when you come together. He wants to say something specially. And you'll find that if somebody gets up and draw red herring across the track, it's just blah. You know, everything just falls. And then when you come back on the right vein, the Holy Ghost and all the angels just come together. But I'm not giving justice to this message. I am telling you what I'm feeling. I'm not being able to bring it forward. And somehow it would seem that we might have to come back on it another time. But the great point that I see clear as day is that in us here there are spots of darkness, and they prevent the glory from coming forth. And when Jesus